Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two updates on this channel each week. On Sundays, our messages premiere at 1 p.m., and then on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. The title of my message today is number 377, Jesus Foretells His Death and His Resurrection, and will be in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. Now, as the name of our podcast implies, our podcasts typically have a prophecy thread. We love answering questions particularly related to prophecy. However, if you have any questions at all regarding the Bible or theology or, again, prophecy specifically, send us an email at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. I try to answer, in fact, I do answer all of those emails personally myself, and would love to be able to hear from you. And that's how we actually get a lot of our topics, especially for our Wednesday broadcast. So today, we're continuing in the Gospel of Matthew. And again, the title of my message today is Jesus Foretells His Death and Resurrection. And this is message number 377. And what we're doing is we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. We started this well over a year ago, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. This style of teaching is what's called expository teaching. And since we only have two verses today, I thought it would be a great time to explain why we have chosen this to use this expository method. You know, I had the privilege of serving as a senior pastor at a church in Celebration, Florida for about 7 years. And when we founded that church, I decided to use exclusively expository teaching. And it holds a very special place in my heart. And it's also it's a favorite of many, many people that love to be able to study the Bible and to be able to get as much out of it as possible. It's really, expository preaching is really the most appropriate teaching style for those that want to be able to grow in their faith and their knowledge of the Word of God. Expository teaching, in essence, is the practice of presenting the meaning and intent of the Bible in a very clear, comprehensive manner. This involves a systematic teaching that works to interrogate each passage in detail, ensuring that no passage in the Bible is overlooked. The primary goal here of expository teaching is to expose. See, that's how we get the expository. It exposes the text's intended meaning to the audience, as the scripture was inspired by God and written by the Bible's human authors. Now, there are several reasons why expository teaching is often preferred, and I'm going to go through a few of these for you. First of all, it provides a tremendous respect for scripture's authority. At the heart of expository teaching is a deep respect, a high regard for the Bible as the authoritative Word of God. It embraces the truth that every word of the Scripture is inspired by God and therefore deserves our attention. By working through the Bible systematically, the pastor demonstrates a commitment to submitting to the Scripture's authority rather than imposing their own ideas or preconceived beliefs into the text. Secondly, comprehensive understanding. Expository teaching enables both the teacher and the congregation, the listening audience, to engage with the entirety of the scripture, including passages that might be overlooked or deemed less appealing in a more topical approach. Often the attribute is described as embracing the full counsel of God. Maybe you've heard that term before. The full counsel of God, helping believers to grow in their understanding in both the understanding and the breadth and the depth of biblical truth. Thirdly, Expository teaching provides spiritual growth and maturity by exposing believers to the whole counsel of God. Expository teaching fosters spiritual growth and maturity as individuals are confronted with the various genres, the themes and doctrines of the Bible. This means topics like prophecy, sin, heaven, hell, morality, sexuality are all covered as and when they are presented in the scriptures. Fourth, expository teaching provides clarity and relevance as we focus on the original meaning of the text, but just as importantly, not only the original meaning, but also we emphasize the relevance and the application of the scripture today. Now, fifth and finally, expository teaching provides a defense against error. It provides a solid ground as the whole Bible equips believers to discern truth from error. In a world where false teaching and ideologies abound, expository teaching provides a strong foundation in biblical doctrine, helping believers to stand firm in their faith. So as we continue this journey through the Gospel of Matthew, we now come to these two verses, and I hope that you have an appreciation now for why we go through the Bible in this manner, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. We're now towards the end of chapter 17 in the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus here foretells his death and resurrection. Reading Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. Now, while they were still staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised up." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. You know, this passage ends with the words, "and they were exceedingly sorrowful." Well, that's the New King James translation. It's very understandable. A more modern translation, the Message Bible, says that the disciples felt terrible. A few other translations say that they were heartbroken. They were sad. You see, from our perspective of 2,000 years, and with all four gospel accounts attesting to the fact that Jesus died on a Roman cross, but on the third day he rose again, we think of this as good news. See, we have an advantage that the disciples did not have. We can look at these passages with a rear view mirror and see that it's good news. This is why the church calls it Good Friday. You know, Jesus died one of the most horrific, gruesome deaths. Crucifixion, in fact, was a Roman torture. Yet Jesus went willingly to the cross. Jesus said, "No one takes my life, but I lay it down willingly." That's John chapter 10, verse 18. Now, we can't fault, you really can't fault the disciples from being sad. Even if they had our perspective, it would still be one of those good news, bad news situations. You know, it's kind of like the joke about the teenage daughter coming home and telling you she had good news and bad news. So you ask for the good news, and she says, "Well, the good news is, Dad, the airbags on the car work." So Jesus said this. Jesus said, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him." Now, this is the bad news. Jesus is leading with the bad news. This is not the first time Jesus told them this. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells them three specific times. The first prediction was the previous chapter that we read about a month ago, 2 months ago, in Matthew chapter 16. Now, Jesus says it again in these two verses, and there'll be a third time that Jesus clearly tells them what is about to happen. That's out of Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19. And we'll get to that in a few months, but I'm going to read it today because it's very telling. And listen to the details that Jesus provides, the specificity. "Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life.'" So maybe you have the question, why does Jesus do this? Well, there are actually 9 accounts in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus directly tells his disciples about his impending death, and he always attaches the death with his resurrection. Well, why is this important? Well, one word, and the one word is prophecy. This is why I teach prophecy. This is why I have a passion for prophecy. Only God has the ability to clearly, accurately, and with great detail and great specificity, there's that word again, be able to foretell events that will happen way before they happen, sometimes thousands of years before they actually occur. The Bible is the only book that has both fulfilled as well as still to be fulfilled prophecy that is 100% accurate. Why? Well, because God is God. And God is the author of both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. We have in our hands, if you have in your hands a Bible, it's a collection of 66 books, and it's all together trustworthy. In John chapter 13, 19, Jesus tells us exactly why he tells these things before they will happen. This is what Jesus says. He says, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. You see, this is one of the reasons why the Bible is full of prophecy, because it gives us a clear understanding that the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God, and it's trustworthy. You see, this is why the gospel is actually called good news. In fact, it is very much like the stories we like to share about good news and bad news. The gospel is good news. But listen to this. In the epistle to the Romans, the apostle Paul tells us this. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And it gets worse. The Apostle Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's Romans 6:23. But then Paul immediately adds this piece of good news. But the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, these two verses that I gave, that I just said out of the book of Romans, are part of what's called the Roman Road. There's actually 5 verses that you can memorize. They're quite easy. And it clearly shows the reader the sinfulness, our sinfulness, our guilt, but then also God's provision through Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul laid out the bad news, but he also gave us the good news. And you see, it's really, really good news. In fact, you probably know this verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting or eternal life. You see, this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is why Jesus went to the cross, why he suffered and died. He did it for you. And he did it for me. If you've never actually intentionally owned up to the fact that you're a sinner, that the wages of sin is death, my friends, the time is now. When we own up to the fact that we are sinners, then we sin, then we have the opportunity to be able to repent. And if we repent, we can be forgiven of our sins. Now, to repent doesn't mean that we're sorry. Yes, of course, repentance does have that element that we're sorry. But actually, the biblical intention of to repent is to turn around. It's actually the word for to change our mind, to change our attitude towards sin. And see, God has made a provision that in Jesus, you can be forgiven. And not only that, the good news is that when you repent and you're forgiven, God will give you the ability to change, to be able to turn from a sinner to one that is walking more and more closely with God. You know, Jesus is the one that went to Calvary to die on a Roman cross for you. Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God that was sacrificed. His blood was spilled as a sacrifice for our sins. The good news is that the Bible says that this was done once. Just once, just one time, but there's still room for you at the cross. Still room. That blood of the Lamb still cleanses us. It still cleanses us. Actually, the Bible says it will cleanse whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever comes to the Lord. Whosoever believes in Jesus. Let's finish up today with that last scripture from the Romans Road. It's a well-known scripture, and I love it. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, some have said, Pastor, it can't be that easy. Well, it wasn't easy. Jesus had to die. He was actually the only person ever that was born in order to die. Because he died and he rose again and he lived a sinless life, you can have eternal life. I'd urge you to make sure that you have made that simple confession of faith, as I just mentioned in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you can repent. Then you can repent of your sins and you can acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for the Romans Road. Oh my goodness, what an opportunity these five verses give us.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Bear's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming seven-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Bear. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Bear. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.